You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
We have Mr. Rao. I don't know if other gentleman is supposed to be there, Mr. Ramroop. But we're going to be talking with our guest. Mr. Ramroop is supposed to be there, former president of the Prison Officers Association. But I see in Mr. Rao in the chat. So good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bates. Yeah, that's my nickname.
Oh, your nickname is Rao. What?
Yes.
Oh, your nickname is Rao. Yes, okay.
Sir.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so I'm glad to be on your program and to your listeners to hear what's taking place.
All right, man. All right, so we're talking about the prisons and in terms of the, well, budget allocations. I've had many interviews with other prison officers and people from the Prison Officers Association. And, you know, always complaints is like a recurring decimal about things going on inside of the prison in a mess, you know. So what we need this time, what we looking forward to, what were promises made to you all, what does the prisons really need?
Right, well, the midterm budget really is a backdrop of the supplementary allocation.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately, I think it's 2.9 billion increase in total government expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
From 59.2 billion to 62.2 billion. How that going to benefit the protective services in terms of what is taking place in the prison? We have wage increase and salary settlement. Mm-hmm. I know the police service have increases too in terms of outstanding settlements that needs to be dealt with, outstanding salaries. You have allowances. You have when you look at what is taking place in terms of the morale of officers, this is something that is being looked at. Recruitment. We have heard the minister talk about prison officers being recruited and police officers being recruited. So that is something that the prison will look forward to in terms of getting the staffing up to date, acquisition of vehicles and operating equipment, communication systems. You have intelligence gathering, security operations. So those are some of the key areas that the prison officers will seek to benefit and maximize. There's also the area of the rehabilitation of program, which we continue to hear on the front burner, expansion of education and vocational training, the improvement of infrastructure. Recently, we would have heard the mention about a prison at the Komoto. And so, and the closure of Port of Spain prison and Carrera. So this is something that the prison service will be looking at and how we could continue to strengthen rehabilitation and reintegration initiatives. And that is going to take some time. It is going to take some resources from the government to look at that. We were looking at the improving of the working conditions for prison officers, the short staffing, the staffing issue we have, equipment deficiencies, occupational safety. So there are some of the critical areas that the prison will be looking at. You know, one thing I want to make mention of, there was recently, there was the finance bill. If you recall that, Bates, the finance bill that was recently in Parliament, yeah. And it talks about a prison officer had to act in a higher position for at least 3 years continuous before retirement to have a pension benefit calculated at a higher rank. Now that has changed. The finance bill reduces the requirement an officer who acted continuously in a higher office for at least 1 year, but less than 3 years immediately before retirement or before proceeding on pre-retirement, can now have his pension calculated at that rate, his gratuity at that rate, and other retirement allowances. So it is a win there for the prison officers in terms of the leaving with an enhanced benefit and package in terms of their finances. So that is something that we, yes.
Yeah, no, let me ask you something. No, I mean, every time when we have the budget, you know, the Ministry of National Security gets a very big chunk of the pie, right? Out of that chunk of the pie, is there a specific allocation, a specific percentage that is or supposed to go towards the prison. How was that decided? It's just decided that the Minister of National Security at the time, if he gave away $2, $5, $10?
Right. So that part will be worked out with the permanent secretary in terms of where the distributions will go. So it's only then we will know exactly how much is being allocated to protective services in terms of what is to take place. But we are looking and anticipating in terms of the infrastructure, in terms of the rehabilitation aspect of it. Because if we continue to treat the criminal elements and people are not treated inside of the system, they are going to come back on the outside. And this is something that it is being looked at in how it is being addressed, what kind of measures we're going to be adopted to deal with those kinds of issues. So the answer, what you said, I would have answered more in terms of the allocation that will be up to the ministry normally allocate. They have what you call different votes. They normally will assign the money to specific areas.
Mm-hmm. But I know in terms of rehabilitation, we keep talking about this rehabilitation. And yes, I mean, people need to be treated as human beings, even though you're criminally do something inside there. It is possible that some could be rehabilitated, but for some it's just like a revolving door. You're going there and you come back out, you're going there and you come back out, you're going there and you come back out. And then you keep hearing stories about it. I mean, inside of the watching TV and within life lavish and the nice inside of the prison there. Anyhow, prison seems to be a bed of roses for some. So how are we really rehabilitated, and what does it take to rehabilitate a prisoner?
Well, I know there's a complete review is being undertaken, and so the areas that I mentioned will be looked at in terms of the staffing, the human resource deployment into the prison system, the rehabilitation and reintegration. So there's going to be a close look at what exists and what needs to be done, what kind of mechanism needs to be put in place to deal with the whole issue of rehabilitation of offenders. And so that is being looked at right now at present. So it should be coming on stream pretty soon. But there's going to be a concerted effort to actually deal with the issue of rehabilitation of offenders. For a number of years, we have always had it, as you said, It is there. There's talk of prison reform and what has been taking place. A number of systems fell short. And so they are looking at how we could improve those areas to ensure that we maximize, have efficiency in what is taking place.
And what about in terms of, the prisoners, the prison officers themselves, in terms of their well-being and safety? What do we need to spend to make sure that as well? I know outside you've been talking about years for the FULs for prisons officers. I don't know where we reach that. But being inside there for their own safety and to get some of these rogue officers, because they are part of the problems too. Scanners, are scanners working in the prison? We're talking about, we want this and we want that. What about, the scanners of our officers going in the prisons to be caught with, things and contraband?
Well, if we look at what has been happening recently, Bates, we will have seen a number of officers being held for contraband. So yet there comes to be a robust exercise in terms of how we treat with those officers who continue to carry contraband. And a number of them are before the courts now. And so that is being looked at in terms of the intelligence gathering is critical in terms of what we continue to do. And so that is going to take place parallel in terms of how we continue to operate in the system. As I know, the association has been very vocal in terms of what they would like to see some of the things taking place. So certainly there's going to be that working. I have heard Gerard Gordon recently talking about wanting to work along to bring his officers to the point where officers require some level of training too. So the government will have a role to play in terms of training and retraining of prison officers to understand the whole rehabilitation aspect in terms of how we deal with the risk associated inside of the prison. And yet we continue to see, like with a state of emergency, I know, I said before you raise it, let me talk about the state of emergency. You will find now some people may be in disagreement. There has to be some measure in terms of the spiraling crime, how we deal with the spiraling crime. And those persons who are under the detention order, some of them are placed at different locations. And that in itself, if you look at what's happening, there have been a reduction in the situation at the prison in terms of the violence taking place at the level of the prison. But that, there has been that, so that is continuing. So everything must work hand in hand. So it mustn't be just one aspect of the whole prison system in operation. And prison officers have, by and large, they continue to go beyond the call of duty in terms of what they've been doing. And so that is something I must commend the prison officers in terms of their effort, their workload, their burnout, in terms of how they continue to operate in the national security apparatus.
All right, folks, once again, we are speaking, of course, with Mr. A.K.A. Rao, of course, the president of the, you know, with the prisons they're talking about, you know, things that the prisons would like to see. What are some more things you would like to see allocated within the budget there, especially for national security and the prisons? How can the prisons and the prisons, the police, the judiciary, everybody work hand in hand to make sure this thing is all, you know, coming together, or we just working separately and vicky vi?
Well, there must be that networking with all the stakeholders in national security. And national security goes beyond the police, prison, and the judiciary. You have other entities that play a key role. You have the army playing a role. We have the immigration playing a key role. So when we have persons coming into our system, it's not just into the prison. So what is inside of the system and what is outside? So we look at what is taking place. When a person comes into the system, how they are treated, and when they leave, there must be systems in place too as well. So I know there is talk there. I've heard where that whole reintegration process is being looked at. So I know that the government is seeking to address that issue of rehabilitation. So that's why I could stress on that. So listening to what has been on the burner, I look at the effort of in terms of the Kumoto situation. The previous regime had talked about a prison in the Karani lands. And here it is, we're talking about a prison in Kumoto. And so some people may be in disagreement, but we need to have a modern correctional facility, and the treatment, infrastructure, all those things need to be of a certain standard. I have seen it in the Caribbean, in Barbados. There's a new system, a new prison in the Bahamas, in St. Lucia, a new prison system, and their rehabilitation have taken a different toll. But what we need to do is be patterning ourselves at some of the foreign jurisdictions. As you have Norway, where they have a reduction in recidivism that was around 80% and now it is roughly around 20%. So clearly, you need to look at models that have worked and how they have been working, what kind of system measurement tools, and how we could actually address that and incorporate it in our local prison system in Trinidad and Tobago.
All right, and of course, if anybody wants to ask any questions, feel free to call us up 625-2257, 627-3223, WhatsApp 3061065. We're talking to Mr. Amrupia, the former president of the Prisons Association of Trinidad and Tobago. So what exactly is the plan? I know we still have prisoners there, but what is the plan for the Port of Spain facility?
Yeah. Well, as we speak, there would be some measure of looking to close the Port of Spain prison. So there will be system, prisoners will be moving out of Port of Spain, and we we are allocating them to the maximum security prison. But that is for the commissioner of prison. His mandate in terms of the administration of the prison, in terms of that movement from Port of Spain to the other location. So that is a question that he will have to answer. I wouldn't really like to speak for him there in terms of that, but I know he will have more information in terms of the actual movement of the prisoners there. You know, I wanted to just go back to one of the points that I spoke of earlier on in terms of the officers who would benefit. Years ago, we had it in the system where when you retire, you work at a position, an acting position, for 2 years and 11 months bait. You could not have qualified for the benefit that they're receiving now. You had to reach 3 years. So now that figure has dropped from 3 to 1 year. So in terms of you asking prison officers to act in the higher rank because they are not being promoted, the Public Service Commission has not been fulfilling its mandate under the Constitution. And so you have prison officers have to take their matters to the court to actually get it addressed. But now you are actually seeing with that 1 year, it means that those who act in a position for 2 years, 1 year and more, they are now going to...
Hello, sir? Yeah, hello, that's on there. Hold on. Yeah, come back in. All right, we have a call on the line there. That's on. Hold on there. All right, Rowley Jr., go ahead.
Yes, now I know the gentleman spoke about the prison strength. You're talking the police service, you have the special reserve officers to supplement strength based on a lower form of training, but not exposed to the full training of prison officers. You all ever make that recommendation instead of only the full fledged training officer that would be trained probably, I don't know if you have a 3 month training period or six. But don't you think that if you use the special reserve model, you could use them in less risky areas so you could free up those people who are fully trained to work in the what you call the intensive part of the prison, so to speak? You don't want to make that recommendation?
I understand what you're saying. We had that before in the prison system where we used to call them auxiliary officers. And we did away with that because of the nature of the prison environment, the type of personnel that we have, we will not want to have a short-term training for personnel because currently they're looking to expand the training programs that they have to deal at a wider level because we require now dealing with prisoners require more extensive training in terms of psychological training, social training, those kinds of stuff. So by utilizing the model that you are asking us to, it will shortchange the prison officers.
Well, let's get another question here. Hello, good afternoon.
Auxiliary aspect is used sometime in the U.S., but except the U.S., it's privatized. The auxiliary section, don't you go in the intensive part? The question of having them work as guards for a short period of training on vehicles for the period of training, it can work, but I think to intensify it, you have a higher cost, and it takes longer because if the commission don't have, I'm not protecting the commissioner, but I think you all, in the short term, where you're short on manpower, I think you must have a plan B. Your plan A not working. So make a recommendation. That is my suggestion.
I am hearing what you're saying in terms of the plan A is not working, and the prisons have not been the fault of that. That was the Public Service Commission who have been taking that length of period of time. As we speak right now, there are personnel who are being assessed for recruitment. Actually, a new batch is supposed to be coming on stream in a couple months' time. I don't want to give you a specific date. The next thing, Bates, you'll be calling me to say, but Mr. Ramup, you said... at the end of July, people coming. So there's a process right now taking place to have that additional recruitment drive where we'll actually have recruits at the training college training. And then from there on, you see, over the years, you see, I don't want to be They want to be the bearer of bad news, but there have not been much recruitment. And so that we need to have that.
But then just the other day, they were hiring. And just the other day, they were hiring, and there was a long, long line of young people waiting for jobs. What happened to those people?
Right. So those persons I'm speaking of, we have different psychological evaluation. You have the examination, the psychological evaluation, psychometric testing, and then you have a physical test, because you might be able to pass the examination and the psychological assessment, but then you may not be able to pass the physical. So that is the final stage they are almost there at. And so this is why I said it, in a couple of months' time, we will see recruits coming into the prison to start training. And I'm not the model that your caller spoke of. It is something that can be considered. So I know they'll be looking at how you could get a faster set of inmates, officers. But then bear in mind, when you bring someone into the system, and after that person, the person expect full complement in terms of being a prison officer. So now you have to go back to the training. So it is something they will have to look at what had existed and if it would be feasible to work. So not to just discredit the caller in terms of the suggestion, because I believe sometimes we need to look at all the suggestions that on the table and make what is the best decision.
All right, now in the States, and the prisons is a business. There are many private prisons, you know. You ever thought here about, has it ever come up to working with a private entity, or even, well, I know for privatizing the prison service might mean, you know, something different for you all. But in terms of, you know, bettering our prison services, making it opening up to a private entity, has that ever been, you know, thought about? What do you think about that? At least have a better facility.
We have the transport system that is privatized right now in terms of the amalgamated transport. And I know they are in other Caribbean countries.
Mm-hmm.
What has been our problem is not the issue of privatization, but the issue of management and in terms of how we deal with the issue of the prison. So if the prison is sustainable in terms of prison industries, right, the rehabilitation aspect of it, then the public will buy in to the positive aspect of it. But what we continue to hear is there's a failure in all the areas, because over the years we continue to ignore some of the system. But there is that opportunity once we do what we have to do, make the proper assessment, things can turn around. That is my view. I always believe that things can turn around once the right mechanism and system is in place.
And what about getting prisoners to work? I mean, I don't know what's happening in terms of the rehabilitation. I don't know if that's still a thing. To me, the prison system is barely, the prisoners could really be doing ready if they want to change the CPAP thing left off of them, you know, cut some bush, so to speak. You know, they do some jobs. If it is some painting, I believe it have certain products should be coming out of the prisons people could support, and that could even go back into helping out the system, so to speak. What about, you know, things like that? And then giving the prisoners themselves a sense of something. So when you come out of prison, listen, you have a skill, even.
Yes, I agree with what you're saying. There should be productive labor. When a prisoner is sentenced to 3 years, 5 years, he is sentenced to hard labor. But that doesn't take place here in Trinidad. So in terms of a prisoner sitting in his cell, this needs to be done away. We have something called a remission system. Remind me to come back to your point. A remission system where if you serve 30 days or less, you get no time off. If you serve from 30 days to 1 year, you get half of your sentence off. Meaning if you're doing 8 months, you're actually doing 4 months. If you're doing 1 year and more, you get a third off. So let's say you're doing 3 years, you're actually doing 2 years. And we have what you call remission system. So it is for good conduct and industry. Whether you are involved in any type of rehabilitative program, you get that time off. I think that that should not be. It should be that you have to work to get the time off. You must get yourself involved in productive labor, in programs, in some kind of rehabilitative initiative to ensure that you benefit from that. And to go back to the aspect of prison labor and prison industries in the community, in the Bahamas, in St. Lucia, in Barbados, you have prisoners going on the what you call conditional release. They are on the day pass. They work in organization. They work in companies, and they come back in the system, and they get remuneration. And that, but which you have victim offender management there, where victims who would have suffered part of the monetary gains goes to the victim too as well. Part goes to the offender. So the offender could leave too with some kind of monetary gain. In the YTRC, the youth juvenile, we have young residents who work on the outside, and they would tend to benefit from that aspect of it. But to the adult, if we have the adult working in the community, there are a lot of trees on the side, as you said. In terms of Ministry of Social Development, there could be that kind of initiative in terms of how we deal with those persons.
Even agriculture, and all planting, agriculture too. You know, for them to plant.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Bates. For them to do productive labor,
mm-hmm.
so that they just don't sit inside the system, and we continue to fit the bill. So if we continue to operate and modernize and look at different strategies in terms of how we treat with the prison system, you don't think, Bates, that we could have a transformation?
But of course.
Means a whole structural change in terms of what we're doing, what are we doing. Take, for instance, persons coming in. There must be the assessment from the initial stage
mm-hmm.
into the system until the pre-release and even on your release into the community, what is taking place. So there's something, I know that there's something coming on stream in terms of that aspect of the release in the community. So I am optimistic of the plans in terms of rehabilitation of offenders. What I was looking at the trend in terms of a number of legislation that we've been asking for over the years. You have the rehabilitation bill, you have the victim rights bill, you have where we continue to treat with situation outside. Prisoners, if you recall, when they're inside, sometimes they have challenge in finding employment after prison. So that stigma, now you have your record being expunged, so that you come out now for certain offenses, you get that record clean, so that you could find employment on the outside. And so it makes it much easier for the inmates coming out of the system. The victims too, there's focus on the victims. There's the parole bill that was recently there. The parole bill is to ease the overcrowding in the nation's prison. Now, some people may argue that our convicted section is one-third of the prison population, so it doesn't apply to the remanded. But we have to be innovative. We have to look at what's happening in foreign jurisdiction in terms of the rehabilitation of the unconvicted too as well. So it is something that I will continue to advocate for, and we hope that we will see some kind of
change.
Success.
All right.
At it.
Definitely. And finally, I mean, it's been said and alleged that a lot of men, people still doing their wrongdoings from within the prisons. People still have a lot of power, calling shots, tampering with witnesses, even, you know, making some witnesses disappear. You know what I mean? What are we doing can be done about things like that? Is anything like, I mean, men just had a cell phone in prison. I know where they're getting it from. Are we able to intercept calls, jammers, cameras, or what? There are rights inside of the prisons there too?
Yeah, well, when you look at the question you ask there, Bates, that is a national security concern. And certainly I can tell you they are working on that. If you look at the statistics, if you look at what have been happening. But for security reasons, that is one of your questions I cannot answer for the public. But I could tell you they are working on it.
All right, so I guess slowly but surely. I'm surely best.
Yes.
All right, well, Mr. Ramu, well, thank you very much. And I do hope when the budget does come around, you'll get a piece of the action and a piece of the pie. All right.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.